Lunch with Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
As I've mentioned, on Friday, I had the pleasure of dining on board that massive Cunard cruise liner, the Queen Elizabeth, a real glimpse into the kind of travel most of us only dream of. Imagine having A, the money, and B, the time at your disposal to set sail around the world and explore new ports every few days and live a life of luxury and entertainment and fine dining every day in between. I don't know how many of you have had that opportunity to experience life on board a cruise liner for an extended period. And if you have, again, maybe tell us what were the highlights for you, or if there are any lowlights of that experience. I'd be interested to hear your personal reflections on what was most memorable about the opportunity. What was interesting to note, of course, we were on board one huge ship. Berthed right alongside was another huge ship, the MSC Musica. And as I drove in this morning, lo and behold, there's another one in port. And we thought we'd find out, is there anecdotally, well, it seems anecdotally that there are more and more of them arriving. Is that borne out by the stats? How important is it as a revenue stream to the city? And what promise does the cruise liner industry hold for economic opportunities in the city? To discuss that with me, I'm delighted to welcome on the line Mayoral Committee Member for Economic Opportunities and Asset Management, Alderman James Force. James, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, Papa, and good afternoon to your listeners.
I know that those two cruise liners that were berthed on Friday alone brought over 4,000 passengers to Cape Town, and they're not alone. How many more are we still expecting to come in the next couple of weeks, James?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. The projection for the year ahead is at a number of 33. The V&A Waterfront has confirmed that there are another 33 that will be coming in. So it's absolutely incredible for Cape Town, and the projected income for the period 2017 unto 2027 is 220 billion rand for our city's economy. So it's absolutely amazing, and specifically to see how the number of vessels that have increased over the last few years up to now, it's just an exciting industry to be in.
Let's talk about the reasons for that increase. I'm sure some of it must be linked to the fact that we've upgraded the arrival space for cruise liners with that new terminal. What else is playing into the decision of more liners to make Cape Town a stop on their itinerary?
Well, of course, let's start with the cruise terminal. That is a major, major contributing factor. You need to have the right tourism infrastructure to drive the demand that makes the business sense. So with the construction of the dedicated cruise terminal, it made a huge difference for us to be able to market Cape Town as a destination of choice for cruise tourism, because it's ease of travel, and also to make it easier for the passengers to go through the visa facilitation process, the disembarking and also the embarking processes. So it plays a major factor in terms of marketing your city. And, of course, our strategic location on the African continent. Cape Town has been voted the events capital of the year, with a conferencing capital on the African continent. So all of these achievements really elevate your tourism brand, and that's the way you get onto these itineraries. So there's a lot of factors at play, and, of course, Cape Town tourism provides a quality experience, and also the activation of all of the tourism-related businesses in the area surrounding cruise tourism is a very important factor. So, and of course, the other important aspects, for example, the port services and maintenance. The cruise liners need us for goods and services to sustain their cruise operations. All of those factors play a big role. And so one can just say thank you to all of the tourism-related services at the port itself, the V&A Waterfront, the tourism businesses that are activated to provide the tour guiding and all of the various aspects plays a major, major role. Because if you damage your tourism brand with one terrible experience, you know, it takes years to recover. And so one needs to, you know, pay tribute to all of the tourism-related businesses in our city for playing their part. And, of course, Cape Town Tourism and the City of Cape Town and Westgrow and all of the various partners. We make sure that we market Cape Town at all of the trade shows globally to make sure that the big players are aware of Cape Town's capacity. Also, the airport upgrading that is happening this year plays a major role. because, Pippa, what is important is that a lot of passengers, you've mentioned the more than 2,000 passengers on the Queen Elizabeth,
a big portion
of that passengers, they actually disembark, they stay for a few days in our city, and then they fly back to their destinations, and then new passengers come on board. So you need to have all of the various tourism infrastructure, from airports to public transport to hotels to tour guiding. Everything needs to be done correctly so that you've got a full activation of tourism in the true sense of the value chain to be able to deal with the demand.
Mm. So, James, let me just stop you there because we've got a caller on the line who's had the experience of being on one of these big ships quite recently. Andrew, I believe, in Newlands, was on the World Cruise Ship last year and I think has some feedback for you. Andrew, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, and to the MEC. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you loud and clear. Andrew, go ahead.
Okay, so I work with a guy called Christo Brunt, who was Nelson Mandela's warder, and Christo was invited to do a lecture on the World Cruise Ship when it was here in December.
Yeah.
And so when we went on board, we met the cruise director, who told us that when they docked at Cape Town, they were told by Home Affairs that they had to berth the ship in front of the terminal where they could then stamp their passports, even though the cruise ship was going to be docked in front of the Table Bay Hotel. And when the cruise director asked Home Affairs if they would rather maybe send two people over to process the passports in front of the Table Bay, they were told, you come to us, we don't go to you. So the cruise ship had to pull into Cape Town Harbour, berth itself in front of the Home Affairs office, stamp the passports, and then actually go out again and go and park itself in front of the Table Bay Hotel. Now, that was the World Cruise Ship, which comes to Cape Town quite often, and is owned by the people who own the flats on the ship. And they decide every 3 years what the itinerary is going to be. So I just hope that that was the exception, because he said that we will pay you. Just send two officials. And they said no. So he was, you know, they were really upset with the way they were treated by Home Affairs.
Andrew, thanks for sharing that feedback. James, does it surprise you to hear that? Is that in line with procedures? Is there a very pertinent reason why Home Affairs needs to process everybody where they are and can't exercise the kind of flexibility that ship was hoping for?
I'm not entirely sure, and I really appreciate the feedback, because these are the things I want to pick up on in order to fix, because we can't have a situation where the Department of Home Affairs damages our tourism brand with incidents such as these. I know of another incident a few years ago where a lot of passengers were not allowed to disembark. And when we talk about a lot of passengers not allowed to disembark, that is a huge lost opportunity in terms of tourism revenue to our small businesses, but also a lost opportunity for us in terms of positioning ourselves as a global tourism player. So I'm not sure exactly what the thinking is behind the Department of Tourism in this instance, but certainly something that I will be taking forward, because there are various issues that we need to resolve, because all of the players need to play their part. So Department of Home Affairs, that's almost the first response.
It's your first port of call, if you'll pardon the pun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't want to say that because it was going to be pardon the pun. But absolutely, that's the first experience. And so it takes me back to the visa debacle. The Department of Home Affairs with the issuing of these visa regulations. They just don't get it. That's the problem with them. And I want to be critical when it's necessary. And in this instance, I fully agree with your caller. One needs to be critical of the way that they've dealt with this issue. And we need to fix it, because it's damaging our tourism reputation, and we cannot lose out on this opportunity. Tourism is competitive, and other countries and cities will quickly move into that space. So I'll be taking this up with the Department of Home Affairs again, because we all need to play our part. And, of course, the dedicated cruise terminal is exactly being constructed for that purpose, to have an ease of facilitation, so that one uses that infrastructure to be able to facilitate the immigration process, so that it's easy, comfort, cuts turnaround time, and so that you can get going. So So absolutely something that I need to fix, and the Department of Home Affairs needs to play their part much better. So thank you to the caller for raising that.
Alderman Foss, thank you so much for your time, and I'm very happy to send you a clip of that call from Andrew if that would help facilitate your conversation with Home Affairs. My producer, I'm putting you back to Amy. We'll just jot down your email details so that we can send that along to you after the show today. Alderman James Foss, the MACO member for Economic Opportunities and Asset Management in the City of Cape Town, chatting there about cruise ship arrivals, the increase in the number of liners which are adding Cape Town to the itinerary, and the knock-on effect, of course, on the coffers of the city.